We have two powers in life. Our heart, which is our life force, mm-hmm. and our brain, that's our power force. Without either, you're no longer here. And if we're no longer here, the most valuable thing we have in life is time. But what we do with our time shows what's most important to us.
Yes.
Time is gone. Everything's gone. But if I waste my time, and this goes back to people sitting there feeling depressed or down, or I don't have the time to do it. Well, you're spending those seconds anyway, moaning or yes. complaining. And this isn't a put down. It's not a judgment. It's where we're at, right? I'm meeting you where you're at. Mm-hmm. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll realize this. If you were the most important thing to you, you would invest your time into it.
Welcome to the Bond Life Podcast, where fitness, mindset, and real talk collide. This isn't just about workouts. It's about transforming your body, mind, and life. Get ready for unfiltered conversations, expert advice, and the motivation you need to level up in every way.
Welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. Oh, you know the show and you know every episode is worth it. And this episode is not going to disappoint. And if you are brand new, wow. All I'm going to say is wow. This is the episode to land on. You're welcome. It is so good. It's a little bit longer than what we typically do, but at no point was I ready for this episode to stop. Even when we were done, I wanted to keep going. It's so good, you guys. Okay, first, housekeeping stuff. I hope everyone is enjoying their summer start so far. I hope everyone is staying on track, paying attention to their goals. We're actually going to talk about goals and challenges in this episode in a really, really cool, fun way. Please rate and review the podcast as well. If you feel 5 stars is appropriate, please give us 5 stars and write a review. It does huge things for the show, and we always greatly appreciate it. Also, if you are looking to keep your fitness goals in check moving forward this summer with your mind and your body, both things go hand in hand, which we talk about in this episode today, please visit the show notes, book a call, click the link. We can talk. You can DM. Look at a program that you have over the summer. We have things like Focused and Fit, which is a 6-week program. That might be a good fit for you to do. I'm just throwing this in there because I want you guys to know that you don't have to just do nothing. Everything doesn't have to stop just because it's summertime. And the more you get a plan in place right now, the more it will help you in the future. It really, really will. Okay, I have to just dive into this episode. I can't chit-chat too much because A, it's already longer, and B, I don't want to put it off anymore. We have Dan Metcalf on. He is the definition of a modern day superhuman. The stories that he has and he shares are absolutely incredible. And we are talking today about how every human is born to be superhuman. Now, he is an actor, an athlete, a mindset master, and Dan has dedicated his life to exploring the potential of the human body and mind. And he's not just talking the talk, he lives it, pushing boundaries physically and mentally in ways most people wouldn't dare. And through his work, Dan dives deep into mindset transformation, personal power, and what it really takes to become unstoppable. Get ready for an inspiring, no BS conversation about breaking limits and becoming the strongest version of yourself from the inside out. Wait till you hear Dan's story and his take. And he goes through, you guys have to get all the way to the end because he goes through his 7 pillars of life. We could have podcast 2 hours long just on the 7 pillars of life. I sat there and I couldn't write fast enough. I wanted to take notes as I was listening. Everything that Dan is talking about and the potential that our brain and our body has, if you listen to this, it could be a game changer for you. We talk about my back. We talk about my injury. We talk about how I'm connecting that. We talk about sleep and water and hydration. Oh my God. This episode is too good to keep from you any longer. So as always, check out the show notes because you're going to find links to Bomb Life. You're going to find links to Mr. Dan. And he has a free 7-day hydration challenge too.
go check that out. He's got a free gift in there for you guys. All of his links are in there, so don't delay. Run, don't walk to the show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bomb Life podcast. Today, we have Dan Metcalf on. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here, Melissa. And it reminded me, I have to up my energy just to match you. It's great.
Well, I can be a lot to handle sometimes, but it makes for a good show. It makes for a good show. I'm so happy that you are on today. I was telling Dan, you guys, we were talking before we hit record, and I'm like, there is so much to your journey and your story and how you got to where you're at today. Like, my brain had a hard time like putting some things together because you're superhuman.
Thank you. Before we start, I just want to say, Melissa, one thing, I've watched your podcast, I look at your social media, mm-hmm. I speak at a lot of conventions and health places. And I just want to say, it's so nice to meet someone that not only is an expert because of their knowledge and the investment, but you actually live the lifestyle. I see so many people that love to lecture, but don't actually live what they're saying. So I just want to congratulate you on that. It's beautiful to see.
Oh, thank you. I do. I really pride myself in like being real. And if I'm telling my clients or my audience to like do something, I'm doing it too. Like, I just feel like that is so important, to connect with people and then to just be real, be true to yourself, your soul. Thanks for saying that, Dan. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Okay. So we're going to talk today about many different topics, but the main thing that you caught my attention on, and I'm like, we have to have Dan on, is how your whole belief and everything you talk about and everything that you do, like, because you've been in acting and Hollywood and soccer, and you're an expert in like podcaster and into fitness. I mean, you guys, you should see this man's resume and bio. It is like insane. You're an author, a speaker, like I can keep going on. And your whole thing is around how all humans are born to be superhuman. Like, we hold this superpower. I have to know, and I know you have some crazy stories, like, how did this become what you do? Like, what led up to Dan being like the superhuman guru?
Well, I want to meet that guy, whoever that is. I want to meet him.
He's amazing.
Exactly. Amazing is a word I use all the time. So if I can go back a little bit, I grew up, I wanted to be a soccer player. That's all I wanted to be. I grew up in England. Mm. And that was the height of, for me, the ultimate celebrity man was being a soccer player, football player. And I had a lot of health issues growing up, but I was able to overcome them because of my curiosity. Ever there was an obstacle, I always felt that there has to be a solution. And even at the age of 9, when I had really bad asthma, my grandfather, who was a GP, gave me an inhaler. I took it, felt better. And I had really bad asthma. Like, I'd take 2 steps and I'd collapse on the ground.
Oh, and think, God.
That was fine. But at the age of 9, I walked to the library and I wanted to read about my respiratory system and say, well, if I take this, what's going to happen to my body? And realizing that my body is made to heal. We are born to heal. We're born to thrive. So I threw the inhaler away and would go to the park and just throw my jacket on the ground, run as far as I can, collapse on the ground, breathe, trying to looking at my jacket going, I just got to get back to my jacket. And when I regained my breath, I did that. Anyway, my body healed. I became a great runner. I became really athletic. And it was all because we are born to heal. Mm-hmm. But if I jump on, I did 8 years with the Royal Marine Cadets training. And I went to professional soccer clubs. I graduated from a great high school back in England, advanced education. And when I got to the soccer club, Melissa, I didn't want to be a professional soccer player. It wasn't what I thought it was. And yet I'd lived my whole existence at that point with only one goal, one target, my life revolved.
Wow.
So I thought, what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. I'll go to the Marines. All my friends are going to the Royal Marines. My dad had been in the parachute regiment and stuff. So I start doing aerobics to get supple for mountain climbing. And the teacher there said, you should become a dancer. I'm like, what? She goes, you should become a dancer. Here I am, the shaved head, the muscle, running with 50-pound backpacks on the beach through the ocean. And I want to go to the special forces. But I thought, you know what? I'll do it for a laugh. I'll go to an audition that she set up. I arrive at this audition. And 2 hours later, they offer me a full 3-year scholarship to start in 2 weeks' time.
Wait, had you been dancing before this point?
Never.
You were just that good. You were just like,
You had to have had something.
Oh, I believe so.
It would be
self-endearing if I turned around and said I was a great dancer. I think I had tons of potential. And every time you'll look at it, Melissa, when you look at your clients, when you talk with your audience, you understand everyone has potential, but the impact of potential is only relative to the force behind it.
Right.
And so I knew if I went into this situation, never having danced before. We're talking ballet, jazz, tap,
modern,
nationals. I never put on ballet shoes before in my life. And I knew I'd have to be the hardest worker because I had the most to do. Mm-hmm. And the magic we seek is in the work we avoid.
I'm going to write that down.
Everyone knows what they really want, but are we really willing to commit to it? So I went in, but this is where it all comes back to Born Superhuman. Because it's kind of a long story before we get onto the next story. But the day before I started my first dance class, my father, who I didn't have a great relationship with, he left my mother and him broke up when I was about 12 years old. But he took me to see a theater show. I didn't know he loved theater. We had never talked about it. We were always manly men. And notice how my voice went deeper there. We were manly men.
Right.
Back to me. So we went to see Andrew Lloyd Webber's show. Andrew Lloyd Webber, for those that may not know who he is, but you will have heard of Phantom of the Opera,
yes.
Jesus Superstar, Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat, Evita Katz. Well, I went to see a show called Starlight Express. And at the end, first show I'd ever seen, I'm sitting there, my dad looks at me and goes, what do you think? It was his favorite show. I go, they are unbelievable. These were demigods to me, people that are on stage, singing, acting, on roller skates, brilliant show. And my dad looked at me and he said, one day you'll be in this show. And I looked at him, I said, I'll never be good enough. And my dad said 8 words to me that are the most powerful thing he ever shared and that I live my life by. Those 8 words, somebody has to do it. Why not you? Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. Somebody has to do it. Why not you? And it's true. Everyone that's listening, somebody is going to do something that you wish you could do. Why not you?
Right.
And it opened up I already had curiosity, and I wouldn't say I was a confident person. I was a driven person. And those are 2 different things. Sometimes we're driven because we're not confident.
Right.
Went to theater school. 1.5 years later, I was in that show.
No.
Yep. And I went on to play the lead for Andrew Lloyd Webber around the world and had incredible experiences that if I hadn't have risked saying, nope, I'll just go to the Marines. I'll just stay in there. I don't find out how good I can be, because where do we ever lose? We only lose when we don't risk.
Yeah.
And there's a saying that I love, if it doesn't scare you enough, it's not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I was scared. There was no easy going through, but I committed. I ended up opening the show for Andrew Lloyd Webber in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel. And many people listening to this, it was the number one show in Las Vegas for a number of years and the first real musical theater show that ever went to Vegas. And during a show, I had an accident where I hit my head against the wall at about 30 miles an hour and I fractured my spine and I was paralyzed.
Oh, God.
I had come, Melissa, from this incredible overcoming everything to be what I considered to be the best athlete I could be.
Right.
And suddenly I'm paralyzed. And the doctor spoke to me. They took me, you know, off the stage during a show, and I'm lying in hospital, and they come in and said, you're going to be disabled for life.
Oh my God.
Dynamic moment. Decision. What was even crazier is that didn't scare me. What scared me was the impact on my head and the swelling to my optical nerve caused my right eye to go blind. But we didn't know why at that point. And I remember lying in this bed, looking at the walls, and it's dark because it's a night show. We're in there going, am I going to wake up blind in the morning? And I didn't want to go to sleep. I wanted to leave my left eye open because I didn't know if I'd ever see out of it again. That was scary.
And you were paralyzed.
And I was paralyzed at the time. I'm not quadriplegic. I don't want to disrespect anybody that's going through or lives in that environment. I could feel tingling in my toes. I couldn't move my arms. I couldn't move my legs properly, but I could still feel some neurological activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's jump ahead because we've only got about 3 hours left to talk. No, I'm joking. So,
God, you're like leaving me hanging there though. Like, so obviously you recovered. You can see, you weren't left paralyzed. You weren't blind, but oh my God, how old were you then?
Around 26.
Okay.
And you think you're at the height. Luckily, I was very muscular. Working out, lifting weights was huge for me. And the doctor said I would have broken my spine, not fractured it, if I hadn't had so much muscle that when I hit the wall, the contraction of the muscle actually saved my skeletal structure.
Wow.
This goes on to what we'll talk about in a little while, but the investment you make, you never know when it's going to pay off, but it will.
Mm-hmm.
Very fortunate.
Okay. Take us forward.
Okay. So
pick my job off the ground. I'm sweating. I got to take my sweatshirt off. I'm like sweating right now.
That's all. I appreciate you. And I appreciate the audience listening. So I ended up coaching. I started coaching soccer. Like, if we go into the reality, and I'm just going to be straightforward here. I was on workers' comp at that point because obviously I couldn't perform. The insurance kicks in. All the lawyers were owned by the hotels. So they said to me, if you don't sign this paper to say you'll be disabled for life, we won't be able to continue to pay you. And I said, well, legally, I have to get workers' comp. I had a wife at the time. I was putting her through college. There were expenses that go on just because you're injured or paralyzed, disabled, doesn't mean still your expenses go down. So they held my pay for 18 weeks until I would sign. They kept saying, oh, it's lost in the mail. We sent it. You didn't get it. I'm sorry. Here, sign the paper. It's because it was cheaper to disable me than it was to fix me.
Right.
So I started coaching soccer from a chair to begin with because of my soccer background. I went and started helping youth soccer and said, I've got to earn some money. And I actually became the first paid coach in Las Vegas because nobody paid at that time. But my experience, I was able to say, I'm going to take the worst team in Las Vegas and I'm going to train them because the parents wanted something for their kids. And it was $25 a month. I remember they freaked out. $25 a month to train, you know, per player. In 7 weeks, I took that team from never winning a game to third in the state. In 7 weeks, because it was just before the state championships went on. Very quickly, I became a head coach on the Olympic Development Program, was able to recover my body slowly over time by investing into me. I didn't wait for somebody else to take me on. And there's a word that I can't stand for myself. And that word is hope. I can't. I can for others. Melissa, I hope you have a great day. All your listeners, I hope you live your dreams. I can't control that. But when I say to myself, I hope I get better, I'm procrastinating. Hope is a procrastination for the self. And so I had to say, I believe I will get better because believe is an actionable word. Because if I believe, I'll take action. If I hope, I'm waiting for someone else. So I came back. Ended up having a very, very successful coaching career, became Nike Coach of the Year. I was sponsored by Nike, then went to Under Armour, helped them launch, opened my own sports performance gym in Los Angeles, opened my own nonprofit for kids, where I put over 400 kids into college in Division One. 40 players went on to play professionally, boys and girls.
Oh my God.
And my second favorite team I ever coached was a girls team, and they weren't the best team. They were the most character-driven team that were willing to go through a wall. I want to say for me, but it's because I made it about them. You can achieve anything. We are born superhuman. Well, I'm going to jump forward even more to get to the point where we're really going to get into this conversation.
All right.
2018, I raced the Ironman. I got onto a racing team, racing the bike. I had written movies. I'm down at Netflix, all this different stuff. And I was coming back from a bike training ride, going through a guard-gated community, and the security guard brought the metal gate down on my head at 22 miles an hour. This is where my story really begins.
Stop.
I did. Literally, I stopped. Thank you for that, Melissa. So I was knocked unconscious. I've got the video of it. It's one of the best non-performances I've ever had because I didn't perform it. Flying through the air frozen, I then hit the ground. The back of my head hits the ground so hard it breaks open my helmet. The bike comes down, lands on my face, cuts my face. But I don't know any of this. I'm out for about 3 minutes. When I come around, part of my brain had died. I had to learn to talk properly. I had to learn to function. I would just freeze mid-sentence. My brain would shut down and my body wouldn't function because it wasn't connected properly to my brain at all times. Sometimes it would, but we never know. It's like a computer that freezes. Why? Why is the wheel spinning? Something isn't working properly. It's overload. Went through a terrible 4 years. Depression. I shouldn't say 4 years. There were some things that were going on before that, but I was already struggling in my own personal direction and journey. And I went through depression, PTSD, doctors again. I was a statistic. I was a number. I wasn't a human being. Pretty crazy time because I had to take on my own survival or I could become like a statistic by not tapping into my own brilliance. And every single person, I promise you, you have your own brilliance. You know it. Sometimes we'll sit in life and go, I thought I was so much more, or even more, people aren't seeing me for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better than I'm being given credit. And we look sometimes for people to recognize us rather than going into a room. I saw a post you put up. It was beautiful. Be the loudest in the room without raising your voice.
That's right.
Right? You have this presence. Why have I dumbed it down? Well, that's where the discovery really came in of Born Superhuman. I was able to heal myself without any drugs, without taking any doctor's directions, without going to physical therapy as far as the insurance companies come in. Well, you got to see this person and this person, because I found that, and again, I don't put this across the board,
mm-hmm.
but I found they limited my speed of recovery relative to their program rather than looking at me. We'll see in physical therapy, we know that they'll have X amount of sessions to heal you at X amount of dollars.
Right.
And if you heal too quickly, they don't get their money. And so they'll drag it out. And there's great physical therapists out there, but we're also stuck in a system. Or they'll get us to a point where we run out of money. Now, can we continue to pay ourselves? And if not, thank you very much. Your session's over, you're on your own. So, Born Superhuman.
Okay. So I have so many questions. Your second brain injury, do you think that the first one directly, like, do you think that they... I don't know. Is that why you were injured so bad? You had the freezing and healed? Or was it just that traumatic a second time? Like, do you think your brain was like, oh, no, not again? Like, kind of reverted back. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you survive two major injuries like this?
Okay, that's a really heavy question. Because
I know.
I think during it, I wasn't conscious. But I look at it more along this way. Everything that happens to us in life is a gift. I wouldn't be where I am today helping tens of thousands of people
right.
if I hadn't have suffered.
Right.
And there's a saying that I love, Melissa, why be a victim when you can be a hero? And I'm not the hero. It's not that I'm going, oh, look at me, aren't I great? I'm just me. I just try and perform at the highest level of my excellence. But it was self either deprecating or self-revealing. Am I going to become the victim and blame everybody else and poor me and want everybody else to emote for me? Oh, what a shame. Because they're going to move on. I'm left on my own.
Right.
Or do I become my own hero that then can become inspirational to other people? Because you can only truly understand where someone is when you've actually experienced it yourself. I will never understand what it's like to be a mother. And yet I've trained so many mothers and driven people is what I say, or someone with a goal that's willing to invest in the time.
Yeah.
That I can only learn at that point from them mm-hmm. and understand what they're going through because I didn't experience it.
Right. That victim part, I think, really speaks to people because there's so many people that I see that message me or people in my life or they're right in for the show. And they are so trapped in that victimhood of like, well, I can't because I'm just always tired or I have a job or I have kids. And they come up with all of these reasons why they can't. And I love that you're proof that you can take control of your situation. Your healing, your journey, your superhuman powers is completely up to you because we have it inside. But why do you think that they're so, it's like the majority. Why do you think that the majority of people don't think, feel, act, take control? One thing that I always say is like, no one's coming to save you. I got that from Mel Robbins a long time ago. And I hold on to that because it's so true. No one's coming to save us. Why do you think that victimhood mentality is so prevalent nowadays?
I think it's a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
But it's not discipline as a person. It's discipline of time. So while they're sitting there going, I'm a victim, I can't do this. We'll get into this a little bit, but the neurological chemicals that are released from our brain also depend on what we're willing to do. For example, if we're sitting there depressed, we're not creating serotonin release within the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go, well, I don't want to work out, I'm depressed. But if you got up and just moved, even through depression, the brain would start to release serotonin, which is the antidepressant. When you take an antidepressant, it's the serotonin replacement. And the danger is you become reliant on that and the brain or the body doesn't supply the serotonin at the same rate. But all you have to do is get up and move. So when I say discipline, if we commit to ourselves, I saw another post that I saw that you said, which is, you know, being self-love is not selfish. I responded to it on your social media because it really hits home. Self-love is not selfish, but we give so much to everybody else. Then we're exhausted and we put ourselves last. If you say, this is my time, even if it's 3 minutes, and you stick to that, that's your discipline of time, which also reveals who you are and your character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people, especially with, you know, SSRIs, and they get on that and like, I just need a little help. This is just going to be temporary. It's a really low dose. And I don't think people realize how harmful that is. That little dose, that little, oh, I just need a little extra push, instead of diving in and being like, no, let's take a look at the big picture. What really needs to happen? You probably need to eat better, need to start moving your body and start putting yourself ahead of other things. But we just give and give and give and live and die by our job. And then moms by our kids. You know, and I'm not a dad, so I can't speak for dads, but I'm sure it's the same thing, you know. But just, man, we think we just need this little bit of help and then that's going to be the magic pill to do it. And it's not. It's us diving inside and finding our own superhuman power that I love that you're proving that we have, and pulling that beast out, letting that beast drive the bus.
Yeah, I really look at it and go, as I said, born superhuman. People say, you're talking about yourself. I'm like, no, I'm talking about everybody.
Yes.
The tens of thousands that I've been fortunate enough to work with and change their lives is because all we're doing is tapping into their miracle, waiting to be unleashed. Mm. How do you unleash it? And I have some other philosophies that maybe we'll talk about another time, because they're pretty heavy and they get into a long discussion. But let's go back to when we were born, right? You have three beautiful children. When you had given birth and they're still attached to you at the umbilical cord, at what point did the doctor look at any of your babies and go, all right, are you ready? We're going to cut the umbilical cord. Let me know when you're ready. They didn't.
No.
For the first time since conception, the first time in their existence, that umbilical cord was cut and they were on their own as a baby with no experience, no knowledge, no awareness of what's going on around them. They're not even seeing yet. They haven't even breathed. And that first breath, they go, and now we know, then they maybe start crying, right? We go there. That first breath that a baby takes is painful. It's kicking in the system, because you'll have that first breath and then they'll start shrinking the length of the breath because the brain is already taking over. That was painful. It didn't feel good. I want to not experience the pain. But at the same time, the system's saying, I have to breathe. We have to get oxygen.
Yeah.
And then we start kicking in the autonomic system. How amazing is that? You have a team around you, but in life, you have a team around you. But that baby was still responsible, with all the help coming in, to take on the heartbeat, the neurons firing, the blood pressure, the body temperature, the lungs beginning to work and feeding our cells, and then growing and thriving. That's the first step. I didn't say we're born perfect, because perfect is an opinion.
Right.
Superhuman is doing something that we've never done before, that's a matter of life or death. That's what we were. And my uncle was born with cerebral palsy, but lived an incredible life. How superhuman. When I say someone born without a disability, we go, oh, poor them. He didn't see the poor. He had to take it on himself and live. So then we start growing. And for people that don't maybe know as much about the brain, I had to study the brain because that was my own survival. A baby is born with pretty much every brain cell, around 86 billion brain cells, the same as an adult. What they don't have is the synapse in the brain that's saying, how do I think? Wow. How do I move? And that's where we start developing. In fact, a baby's brain is completely smooth when it's born. And only as we learn and begin to get more knowledge does the brain start creating those different folds, because it needs more area space to contain all the knowledge and the synapse, the brain requirements, everything beginning to work together. So depending on where you're born, the time of your life, your socioeconomic standard, who's around you, we're already developing at birth our initial process. And one of the things, my girlfriend's brilliant, she specializes in the first 5 years, mothers in the first 5 years, and what do we do? But straight away, most of the time, the baby's removed from the mother.
Yes.
Not only is the one companion they've had for 9 months or whatever the pregnancy time was, now they're separated on their own as well. And what's the trauma going on? Because what a baby wants to do is be close to that person that they've already got that DNA emotional connection
right.
to. So then we don't even know it. And this is where it really begins to kick in. We unknowingly sign a contract with society that we will agree to what we're told. And we're going to fit into this box, believing that somebody else has their best intention for us, when what's happening is walls are being built that we don't even know that are going to contain us. And sometimes it comes from parents saying, I don't want you to follow your dream because you want to be an actor. You'll never make a living. I want you to become X because you're guaranteed a living. Mm-hmm. And slowly we're numbed down and we're dumbed down.
God, that's so true.
When you were a young girl, Melissa, what did you want to be?
Hey, Bomb Life fam, I have a question for you. Are you the kind of person who crushes it at work, shows up for your family, checks off every to-do list, but when it comes to your fitness, your energy, and your confidence, it feels like something's missing? You might be doing the workouts, listening to all the right podcasts. I mean, you are listening to this one. But deep down, you know you're just kind of going through the motions and you're done playing small in this area of life. That's exactly why I created Fit Mind Coaching, my private one-on-one program for high-achieving women and men who are ready to level up. This isn't just another fitness plan. This is about building the body and the mindset to match the life you're working so damn hard for. Because success in business means nothing if you're hiding in hoodies, avoiding mirrors, or dragging through your day with zero energy, or showing up on Zoom meetings feeling good from the chest up, but praying no one ever sees what's going on below the screen. We're talking about fat loss, muscle building, and real confidence that bleeds into every area of your life. Your boardroom, your bedroom, and your parenting. You want it all? Good. You should have it all. Let's go. Click the link in the show notes and book your free call with me today. Let's build the strongest, most confident version of you inside and out. You're ready for more, and I'm ready to show you how. Back to the show. Believe it or not, I wanted to be a teacher. And because I love kids and I'm good in front of people, kids, anyway, like I'm just good in front of people. And I was talked right out of that. You won't make enough money. By the time you're a mom, kids will probably go to school full time. So you won't even have summers off. That wasn't true. That was totally someone's opinion and made up. And I didn't pursue it. And I also wanted to do like modeling and acting, but I had just messed up teeth. I was the ugly duckling. My sister was gorgeous and very exotic looking. And everyone always told me and would come up to me and be like, wow, you and your sister, huh? Your sisters? You look nothing like her and she's gorgeous. And I'd be like, oh, thanks. You know? But I did pursue that. I did get into modeling and acting. But yeah, I wanted to be a teacher and just it was talked right out of me.
But look at what you're doing today.
Oh, I've taken teaching to a whole nother level.
Exactly. There's a saying that I love. We meet our destiny on the path we walk to avoid it. Right. So we'll do things because we're too scared to go where we should do, or people talk us out of it. But if we really commit to who we are, we will meet our destiny on that path. It's a beautiful saying that has so much depth to it. So as we go through life, we now are created to believe what somebody else created. For example, don't tell me, but if I said to you, how old are you? Don't tell me. You'll turn around and give an age. And everyone does it. And then we have this moment where our mirror neurons are waiting to reflect back what someone's thinking. Because I go, oh, you look great.
Right.
Really, they're being sarcastic. Right? Or they're trying to make you feel good, but they're not impressed. Then we take that in and we feel bad. Or we're not so proud. Or if they turn around and say, oh, really? Oh, okay. Oh, there's certain they've changed the subject. Now we feel bad. But it's like, oh, you look amazing. We suddenly feel good, but it hasn't affected us in any way except our ego. So let me take you to this little exercise because I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
Ask me how old I am.
How old are you?
I'm amazing.
I love that answer. I'm going to use that.
And everyone laughs. Well, let me go even deeper because this is part of the Born Superhuman protocols that I teach. If I told you that I was 91, what would you say?
No way. I'd be like, no way.
Right. If I told you I was 19, what would you say?
No way.
Yeah, I've aged badly, right? That's right. The way it is. And that's because we have opinions. Remember when, you know, 40 was the new 30, 60 was the new 40. We're changing opinions that we then grab onto because what we tell ourselves is what we believe. And that's the way that our synapse in our brain now relates to us. So the reason I say I'm amazing and people will say, no, come on, tell us your age. No, I'm amazing. Oh, don't be embarrassed. I'm not scared to say my age. And like, because it's not for you.
Right? Oh,
it's
God.
Not for you. When I say I'm amazing because society told us to think a certain way about our age, we're actually made at a cellular level to live to at least 122 And when I say live, I'm not saying exist. Live fully functional, 122. It goes down to cellular levels, telomeres, protecting what we do and all the other stuff. But when I say I'm amazing, those words and then the thought, which actually leads the words, goes into my brain. Now, what's my brain telling my cells? My brain is telling my cells, I'm amazing. I'm not an age. And as a result, that message goes to all my neurons that aren't going, oh, I'm aging, I can slow down, I can retire, which means expire.
Oh my God.
My brain is telling you, I'm amazing. My performance goes through the roof now, not in an ego way, but I was speaking at a convention called Radfest, which is Brian Johnson was the guest, you know, keynote speaker.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that's never going to die and all his own shows. And credit to him, if that's what he wants to do and live his life, do it.
Go for it.
Yeah, but I got tested at that convention. There were 400 people tested. What's my cellular age?
Uh-huh.
I became the third biggest age gap in the world, right? In other words,
oh my God,
this was 2 years ago. My cellular age was 19. And I would tell you I'm past half a century. My brain health is 31. And yet we have our chronological age and a biological age.
Right.
I'm 16 years younger than my chronological age physically. These are all different testing that's going on.
Uh-huh.
It's not one of these, oh, let's just make it up. Then they'd say to me, what do you take? What do you mean, what do I take? What supplements do you take? Sometimes I'll take creatine. Sometimes, you know, I'm a huge believer in hydrogen water, but the correct hydrogen water, because hydration is critical to our function. They said, what are you taking for yourself? Nothing. Our mindset, the way we feed our brain and what we give permission for our brain to do, which is the greatest technology in the world, but the brain can't do anything without being given the permission. And that's where it goes back to my brain injury. When I was lying in bed going, what am I going to do? And I started researching and I started looking at love. When you look at love, and I'll ask you something, when you were young and you call yourself the ugly duckling, we're never what we think we are, but that's how we saw ourselves. Uh-huh. Did you ever have a guy that you had a crush on and you tried to get him and he completely ignored you?
Oh, for sure.
And what happened to that relationship?
Nothing.
Did you ever have it though, where you had guys that were interested in you and they're trying to get you and you're just not interested in them?
Yes, sir.
And what happened to that relationship?
Nothing.
Nothing. Have you ever watched on YouTube where you take two seeds, put them in two separate pots with the same soil, in the same sunlight, water them the same, and one you put love and you talk love to it, and one you put hate and you despise it? Have you ever seen that?
I have.
I advise anyone to go watch it. You can do it with water at the cellular level there, the molecular level. Rice they use. The one that you give love to flourishes. It thrives. It's beautiful. Exactly the same seed from the same plant in the other pot that you despise withers. It dies. It can't excel. Frequency, energy, messaging. I started thinking about my brain. Melissa, tell me one thing in life that you love.
My kids.
Your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's the most valuable thing you have in life?
My health.
Your health. And I ask all your listeners, while I'm asking this, think for yourself as well. If I said to all your listeners, what's one thing that you love and what's one thing that's most valuable to you, right? So let me take you on a real quick little journey because we could go into it deeper again, but we have two powers in life, our heart, which is our life force, and our brain, that's our power force. Without either, you're no longer here. And if we're no longer here, the most valuable thing we have in life is time. But what we do with our time shows what's most important to us.
Yes.
Time is gone. Everything's gone. But if I waste my time, and this goes back to people sitting there feeling depressed or down, or I don't have the time to do it. Well, you're spending those seconds anyway, moaning or complaining. And this isn't a put down. It's not a judgment. It's where we're at, right? I'm meeting you where you're at. Mm-hmm. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll realize this. If you were the most important thing to you, you would invest your time into it.
Amen.
So this is where we bring it around. So looking at love, and looking at time and what's most important and relationships with love, I would close my eyes, put my hand on my head and say, I love my brain. I love my brain. I love my heart. We never say it. This is the greatest force and power we have in the world. Nothing can beat it.
Mm-hmm.
I love my heart because that's feeding the oxygen around my body that is allowing my brain to work, all my cells to function, my muscles to work. If I don't give love to the most important things for me, self-love, then I can't function. Bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever had an injury?
Yes. And when you're talking about heart, I've had a heart issue and condition, and I've literally been like, my heart is healthy. My heart is strong. I love my heart. I love my heart. So you're talking about this and I'm like, oh my God, I know what you're saying. Like, you're speaking to me.
You will never heal slower by giving love. Think about that relationship. The one person that wants and the one person that doesn't. Well, give me an injury that you've had.
Back injury.
Okay. Back injury. Is it better now?
Not really.
Okay.
Not yet.
So we're going to work on this because I'm going to help you get your back better. I can't, when people say, what do you do? I'm a dream builder. I'm not a dream maker. I can't make them happen. I can help people and myself build dreams. Have you ever complained about your back?
Yes.
Okay. So what are we doing at that point? You're separating your back away from your brain because it's now becoming a problem. So when I go, oh, I can't stand, oh, my back's hurting. Oh God, I can't stand my back. It's holding me back. You're separating it away from your healing process because you will not engage your brain into something that's a problem. But if you turn around and go, you know what? I love my back. My back is a success story in progress. And then go to bed at night because the brain will not do what you don't give it permission to do. So this is what I did with my brain. I would go to bed at night and I would say, all right, Dan, I love my brain. Get out of the way. Brain, you know what to do. Go to work. I would actually give it permission instead of restricting it by saying, I don't believe I'll get better. I'm a victim. I'm an injury. Yeah. I'll be disabled. The doctors don't believe I can get better. I'm sending that to my brain and my brain won't go, well, I'm going to show you wrong. The brain go, okay. It will believe whatever we tell it.
Right.
So now when you go to bed at night, Melissa, get out of the way. Brain, go to work. You know what to do. I love my back. It's a success story in progress. Now, it doesn't mean to say you go and do the bad things. You still do the things to help strengthen it.
Yes.
And we'll go into the seven pillars of natural health, even if it's really quickly because it's dynamic. It would change everyone's life.
Okay.
And it costs nothing. That's what's beautiful. It's already around us. But when we start giving love, we will see success. It's impossible to not feel better and embrace your challenges because they are the lessons that build resilience, that build your character, that will make you the best version of you because anybody can fly when they're in a plane. But until you grow wings, you're always reliant on somebody else.
My God, you make me cry. I've only cried like twice on this podcast ever in 4 years. Dan, you are literally speaking to my soul right now. Like, this is absolutely incredible. And you're right. I have not been giving my back love like that. I haven't. No wonder. No wonder it's lingering.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because a lot of people, a lot of doctors or PT, they just look at me and they're at a loss. They're like, well, you need to strengthen your core. You need to strengthen your glutes. And I'm like,
any more than I am already? Yeah.
Like, really? Like, okay. People just don't know what to do with me. And this is very, very interesting. I have to go backwards just for a second. Then I want to hear the seven pillars. Okay. When you were talking about age, Dan, we were meant to have this conversation right now. I feel you on that conversation so much. And I have just told myself just since I was 28, I'm like, I stopped aging at 28. Like I stopped counting, stopped caring. And people always ask me, how old are you? How old are you? And I never answer. And I'm like, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I love how you're wording it. I love that you're amazing and that's it. And you're right. As soon as they respond to you, man, does that like, that messes with your head and it's all for them. Like, I understand what you're saying so much. And I refuse to let my body break down. Like 100%. I give myself love and stop aging. I have a 19-year-old and she's always like, God, mom, you are just a teenager, just trapped inside. You're like an adult, but you're this teenager trapped inside. And I love that. I love that my kids see me that way too. And they're just like, you are not like other moms. You are just not like other moms. You know, I don't dress, I don't act, I don't talk, but I lead and guide them. But they see my soul as like 20. And I love that. So I can relate to everything you're saying right now. And people think I'm crazy and they get mad at me too. They're like, just tell us, how old are you? When's your birthday? And I'm like, doesn't matter.
So if I asked you now how old you are, how old are you?
Amazing.
There you go.
See, absolutely, it's amazing.
Because when I teach this, and we go obviously deeper when I'm teaching, it's not one moment, but when I'm teaching, I'll then say to people, how old are you? They go, I'm 58. I said, hang on a minute. We just had the conversation. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm amazing. Because we've trained ourselves to answer the question without thinking.
Right.
I would say across the board, everyone, their life, their whole energy changes. And that's one of the reasons you have such great energy, Melissa, is because you're not tied to age. Age is never the reason. My dad went to the doctor recently and he goes to the doctor and he goes, "Yeah, I've got a pain in my right leg." And he goes, "Well, Malcolm, it's because you're getting older."
Oh, and that God. Goes,
he goes, "Well, my left leg is the same age. How come on that?" And it's not. I thought it was a great response from my dad because
I love that.
It's not because of age. We go there to heal. We're born to heal. And that's huge. We are born to heal. Mm-hmm. If you cut your arm and everyone watching has had a cut, we look at it, we see the blood flowing or leaking out. We clean it. We put a Band-Aid on. It develops a scab. As long as we don't pick the scab off, normally it will heal without a mark. But the same system that heals the outside that we never doubt is the same system that heals the inside. But because we can't see it, we put the trust in others. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to doctors. I'm not anti-drugs. I'm anti-dependency.
Yes.
If you need a kickstart, absolutely. But have a plan to let the body start going on its own. Don't become reliant. But the reason, Melissa, that you are so different from so many other mothers isn't because they don't have the potential. It's that they've allowed those walls to build up. And they're identified by society's restrictions, not by society's opportunities. And that's where you have to be brave enough to knock down those walls and say, "I am more." I see so many, you know, incredible ladies that take on life after 40 and suddenly they become these powerhouses. But I also see those that wither away with dreams inside or belief, and they're just scared to take action.
Yeah. Brave is such a good word to describe it too, because you have to be brave to stick out and stand out and take control. And that's why I've made, you know, the first half of my journey helping women and moms like break that mold. And mom blob is my like term. I'm always like, you can go from being a mom blob to bomb. You know, we go from blob to bomb, and you don't have to be like everyone else. You don't have to just lose your body and your mind after children. And I'm always telling women too, it's like, because I love that we're talking about like superhuman. I'm like, do you guys realize how incredible we are? Like, we literally can grow a human being inside of us. We have superpowers. And so many women will stop and they'll be like, "Yeah, that's true." And I'm like, "No, seriously, you grew a human being inside of you for 9 months." And then many of us after, we keep that baby alive with the food that we produce with our body still. Like, that's, do we realize that? And I don't think people can wrap their brain around that. And women don't stop and pause. We just think, "Oh, we have babies. I got pregnant." I'm like, you created life. Yeah. With your body.
It is. It's incredible. Again, we're taught not to do it because we're expected to do it. And that's
exactly
right. And it's just what we do. No, everybody, the only thing we're best at is being ourselves, being our authentic self. And yet, if you speak to most people, they're not their authentic self. They're playing a role. They're fitting into an image. There was a saying that I heard the other day, beautiful saying, I don't want to butcher it. So if I get it slightly wrong, I apologize. But it was, people are so busy taking care of the outside and trying to look good. And yet I've never seen an ugly person that smiles. I love it. Think about when someone smiles, when a baby laughs, when someone with a frown turns it upside down. They're beautiful. The only way we can be the best of everybody is by being the best of us, because there's nobody like us. And when you let yourself shine, you will stand out. What you gift to yourself will be the present that other people will unwrap as well.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. We need that on a t-shirt. Okay, take me through the 7 pillars. I know it's going to be quick, but I do think that they're important to hit on and just at least hear it out of your mouth.
No, thank you. So the 7 pillars are what I came up with that determine our lifespan and our health within life. So okay. I'll just leave it right there. I also listed it in order of importance for living, for survival. The brain is only created to keep us alive. It's not made to make us great. The brain is actually very lazy. Our mindset changes what the brain will do. So number one is oxygen. Okay. It's the most critical thing in our life. If we don't have oxygen, we are gone. Bottom line. But what's the quality of our oxygen? What's the quality of our breathing? I go back to that baby that has its first breath. It's the first sign of us living. If we don't take that first breath, we're no longer here. Mm-hmm. But we don't understand the impact of breathing, of stress management, even hormone control, because that's related to stress management as well. Mm-hmm. If we can learn to breathe better and adjust our breathing, we have a whole physiological change in our body. So for example, if someone's stressing out, or we know panic attacks, right? Or feeling of anxiety.
Yes.
We start hyperventilating, we breathe in more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually the opposite. Breathe out slowly and breathe in less when you're feeling an anxiety coming on, because carbon dioxide buildup when we breathe out allows the oxygen that we breathe in to be absorbed quicker. We don't want an abundance of oxygen, but I'm not going to go into it because I know we're limited on time. But again, when you learn breath work, get out in the morning, start breathing, focus on breathing for a few minutes a day, it will change you.
Okay.
But it's critical. And the quality of the air we're breathing as well. Check your houses, check for mold or contaminants or all these different things. It's fascinating. Most of us live in a contaminated house, but expect to be healthy. Number two, this is probably one of my most important, is hydration. I did studies. I specialize in senior training for people or MS, Parkinson's, ataxia, stroke survivors, brain injuries, in connecting the brain to the body to move better. That's one of my, I would say, areas of genius. But hydration is critical. With the studies, 50% of people over the age of 50 were dehydrated.
Oh my God.
Okay, you think that's bad? I went and read some studies from 3 weeks ago. 75% of American adults now are in a chronic state of dehydration. 75%, because we're drinking coffee, which it has water in it, but it's not the same. It's a form of diuretic.
Yes.
We're drinking sugar drinks. That's going to your brain, which is forcing inflammation in the brain. So when you think you're losing your memory, you're not. What we've got is an excess. And that's not hydration, although it is liquid. It's not positive.
Right.
I'll just go really quickly through this. When you're dehydrated, your blood thickens. When your blood thickens, it can't move as easy around the body. Your heart is having to work harder, which means having to push the blood around, you're not getting the oxygen to the brain. You're not getting the oxygen to the muscles to keep up with the activities you want to do. So we slow down because the muscles can't keep up with the lack of oxygen going in. When you hydrate, and 25% roughly of all that you take goes to your brain, something that weighs 1 to 2 pounds of your body is consuming 25% of your calories and your water intake. Water is critical. I won't go into it more, but all I can say is learn how to hydrate properly. And I'm a huge fan of hydrogen water because it breaks down to a cellular level to allow us to absorb water. You'll drink a whole bunch of water, feel it bloat you. You'll end up peeing it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually drown ourselves by overhydrating. Whereas hydrogen helps us absorb to the cellular level. But be careful. I'll give this warning as well. There's a lot of fake hydrogen out there. And if you get the fake hydrogen bottles, you're actually drinking toxic water. pH stands for potential hydrogen. That's what pH stands for. As you raise the hydrogen level, so can the pH go up. So you have to make sure it stays within a healthy level. I'll move on.
Wait, hold on. What hydrogen water do you drink? Do you have a machine in your home a filter or something?
I've done a ton of research. I've had an incredible scientist on my podcast that came in. If people go to my website, you can find it there as well. It's Axie. Oh. But I've got my water right here. I'm constantly drinking. And I actually have a free hydration challenge, 7-day challenge. If anybody goes to my website, they can do it for free.
Okay.
Teach you how to hydrate. You don't have to, there's no selling, right? Everything that I offer, obviously, if there's things there that are outside of that, it's there. But these 7 pillars are all free. If you do them one at a time and add on to them, you know, block build, you will have dynamic changes in your natural health.
Okay.
Okay, so next up, we've gone oxygen, hydrogen. Next one is sleep. Sleep is more important than food. When we sleep, that's when our brain detoxes all the contamination, all the stresses that have gone through the day, and also when it heals the body. In fact, people don't know, but the brain actually paralyzes your body for split seconds while you're sleeping. Because when the body can freely move, the brain has to keep us safe. I'm rolling out of bed. I've got to be aware.
Right.
But when it paralyzes us for split seconds, it can fully do incredible magical things. So sleep is so critical. And I'll say this. People say, well, isn't food more important? Well, you can go 40 days without food and live.
That's true.
try and go 20 days without sleeping, you will go insane.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do that. So learn to sleep properly. 2 hours before midnight is more impactful because of the circadian rhythm, the flow light and everything is more impactful than the 6 hours after. You'll go to a deeper sleep, you'll get to REM sleep, you'll have this different stuff. Obviously, you want to sleep the whole time, but those 2 hours will have more of a gain than the following 6 hours on
that. Wow. Okay.
Next up, now we get to nutrition, right? What we eat. And I'm going to keep this one very short because I know you talk a lot about nutrition as far as what's healthy, proteins. You've had lots of guests that have come on, but this is the one thing I'd love to say. Eating is critical for our energy, but also when we eat bad, it goes to the brain. Like I said, if you have a 1600 calorie diet a day, 400 of those calories are burnt by the brain, and that's without even exercising.
Yeah.
So you've got to eat. But this is the one thing. I heard a great saying, when you're hungry, don't eat. When you're hungry, it's nutritious, right? Nourish. That's it. I knew it was
nourish.
Yeah. Don't eat, nourish.
Okay.
It completely changed the way that I saw food because now I could look at a bag of potato chips that I love because of the crunch. I love crunch. I love the taste. And, you know, and they got all these chemicals in there to release dopamine in the brain. Or I could look at some fruit or a salad. When I look, you can't deny which one's going to nourish me, right? So when you're hungry, don't eat, nourish, feed your body. It changes the way you look at food. And even if it's one thing where normally I'd grab this, it's not nourishing me, I'm going to have this. You will begin to change the process, the way you think. So that's that one. Okay, let's jump on to the next one.
Okay.
So number five is exercise. Now, exercise is critical. It's not fifth, it's importance of staying alive, right? Where we go. And the more we do, the oxygen, the hydration, the sleep, and the eating, the nourishing, so can we also have an incredible impact from the results of our working out. How we work out is very relative to who we are, what we love. It's better to do something you love and be consistent than do something you don't like and be inconsistent. Even if it's dancing, go to a dance class, get your body moving. And there's some great studies that I can't go into today with time restrictions, but relative to weight training, I know you love lifting heavy.
Yes, sir.
So about cardio, all these different things. So, you know, find out who you are and also do what you love.
That's five.
Number six, mindset. You are what you think. And what you think would determine how you actually act. This comes down to character, and that's a whole nother conversation that I really speak about when I keynote because it really holds us responsible for what we do. Mm-hmm. But mindset is different than the brain, right? They're two separate entities. How do we know that? We can dream because the brain doesn't know the difference between reality and fiction.
Yep.
You dream, you wake up, you believe the dream was real, you're sweating, you're excited, and then you go, oh, it wasn't real. The brain doesn't know. Our mindset will determine our actions. When I teach, the first thing I teach, even though it's sixth, is mindset. If we don't have the right mindset, we won't stick to the other pillars.
Yes, sir.
But in survival's there. And the last one, I love this one, challenges. If we don't challenge ourselves in life, we will not thrive and live the life we should have. Challenges are there to strengthen us. I say set goals and don't set small goals. Set the biggest, craziest goal and then have markers along the way that make you feel good. So if someone says, I just want to walk around the block again. I just want to lose 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. I just want to do this. I'm like, okay. That's part of your journey. What's your dream? What's your goal? We may never get there, but if you're working to that, all these small little goals you will achieve along the way. Don't think small. It's too easy. When you think small, you can quit for a day and start again the next day because it's not a big goal. I'll start next week. I'll start next month. I'll do this. Set the biggest goal that you love, that's passion. Because if it really means more to you, the goal has to be greater than the effort it takes to achieve it, or you'll quit.
Yes.
Set the greatest goals. There, you will achieve things that before you didn't really value.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Dan. I love the seven pillars. So true. Every single one. I mean, just completely spot on. Oh my God, we're so lucky to have you on here. I feel like we could talk for another 2 hours.
probably three or four.
I'm sure. Well, I'd love for you to come onto my podcast and share all your wisdom.
Because
we learn best from each person's experience and finding what fits us.
I think so too. Yeah, we'll keep this conversation going. Dan, where can everyone find you? We'll put it all in the show notes too, but please let us know what's your website, social media, anything and everything.
Thank you so much. BornSuperhuman.com. Okay. That's where you can find a majority of the courses that I have or the information. I have books that are out there. You can search Dan Metcalf or just go to BornSuperhuman.com. You'll see the books on there. And they're very simple. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to make you confused. I'm here to give you permission and understanding to just take action because you can achieve it. We have Born Superhuman on Instagram.
Okay.
I think we're on TikTok and other places. I'm not a social media person.
I know.
And then Dan Metcalf _official on Instagram, where I sometimes come on and give things. The one other thing I'd like to leave with everyone, especially the aging community, because that's something I specialize in as well. Go to totalbalancecompany.com.
Okay.
totalbalancecompany.com. When we talk about balance, it's critical. Falls are the number one cause of death in seniors, leading to death in seniors. Keep your balance. But people will say to keep your balance, strengthen your legs, strengthen your hip flexors, strengthen your core, you'll be better. I thought that as a trainer. I was training Shirley MacLaine, Bob Eubanks, all these different celebrities and people over 100 that haven't walked in 5 years, getting them going. I was 100% wrong. Balance has nothing to do with your body until you connect the brain. Your baby's learning to walk didn't go to a gym. We had to reconnect the brain to the body. Mm-hmm. And then movement, exercise started. You gain strength just from doing it. People are walking all over the world that have never been in a gym. They're great. Once you do that, strength training will bring endurance, stamina, and your ability to move faster. So go to totalbalancecompany.com. It's great. We have Olympic athletes that use it as well. I can't emphasize enough.
Okay.
Train the brain with the body. Don't do training without engaging the brain. And brain doesn't mean thinking, it means activating.
I just have to giggle because like that is totally what I do and what I preach and what makes me like so different in this fitness space too. Cause I'm like, there's no point of me giving you workouts and being like, oh, here, train and eat this. If you are not working on your mindset too, if they don't go hand in hand, we are wasting our time. You'll get results, but you'll just go right back to where you were.
So I got one question for you. Will you let me come and train you one time?
What? Yeah.
I would love to. I'll bring down my training system. We can go to your gym. It's very easy to go. I will shop and I will train you. And I think you're amazing, right? Without a doubt. It's going to give you another perspective to add on top of what you already do.
Oh my God, that would be so fun. Yes. Yes. Oh, Dan, you are incredible. Thank you so much for coming on today. This was just life-changing information right here. So you are a complete blessing and a gift to everyone that took the time to listen to this show, to our world. And I can't thank you enough for what you do.
And I'd love to send my love to everybody that's listening and all your families. You are incredible. You're amazing. Take the step. A champion is not someone that crosses the finishing line. A champion is someone that steps over the start line, not knowing the journey ahead.
I love it. I love it. Everyone, check out the show notes. Keep listening, following Dan. Read his books. Take it all in. Dan, thank you again for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks, Melissa.
Everyone, stay safe. Stay healthy. Until next time.
The Bomb Life podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content shared here is not intended as medical, legal, or professional advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before making any health, fitness, financial, or legal decisions. The opinions shared on this podcast are personal experiences and insight. So if you need expert guidance, go find the right professional for you. Thanks for listening.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your cachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to cachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's cachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE.